Mr. Rich Eisen.
Well, welcome to this third hour of the Rich Eisen Show. If you missed last hour, you missed Keith Hernandez in studio all hour. The entire 60 minutes was with Keith, just hitting memory lane buttons and talking baseball.
That was awesome.
That was
with one of the last champion New York Metropolitan.
Greatest baseball team of all time. I've said that 100 times on this show.
There was a 125 and 50 Yankee team, but other than that.
2018 Red Sox.
They were good too. They were all right.
Yeah. But, I mean, Keith telling the story of his perspective of game six of
I
the
did not know
World
that.
Series.
I don't think Pearlman had that
he
in
was
the book.
The second out of that. Of that inning, and
went to the dugout. Didn't down watch him celebrate.
Hitting a flyout was the putting them to their last out. And he said he didn't want to see the Red Sox celebrate on their field, so he went into the clubhouse and watched it from there. And certainly didn't move, as any baseball player will be superstitious. Mm-hmm. He wasn't moving after they started getting some hits. So just great. If you missed it, don't worry. This show re-airs right here on the Roku channel as soon as we're done, channel 210. There's also our video on demand service, part of our Roku relationship, the Rich Eisen Show Collection. You can catch the videos of it there. And also there's our podcast, where all podcasts can be acquired through the Cumulus Podcast Network. There's also our YouTube page, where we'll chop up that video and send it your way at some point over the next 24 hours. So check it all out. Hit us with a subscribe button right there on both our podcast and our YouTube page, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. So the actor Tom Pelfrey, whose work I truly enjoyed in Ozark, he's now in another terrific television show on HBO Max, Love and Death, with Elizabeth Olsen and Jesse Plemons, Kristen Ritter. He's going to be joining us in about 18 minutes time. So one in-studio guest out, another one in. This latest one hasn't won a World Series.
Yeah,
you know, but he was nominated for an Emmy.
There you go.
Sort of like us.
Hey,
so we're thrilled. Let's basically go. Mike Florio was on in hour number one. He told us the latest. He thinks Jalen Carter is going to go top five in the draft, which means mission accomplished for Drew Rosenhaus, right? Everybody's saying he's dropping out of the top 10. He's like, guess what, we're only visiting top 10 teams, and he thinks it's going to be top five. He thinks Seattle at five. You mentioned the betting markets being a terrific guide for it, and that's when you sat up in your chair, Chris. You gave me a look.
Well, look, Rich, I've been trying to tell you this for a long time.
But it's not that I don't disagree with you. I just have to act like I don't know what you're talking about.
But you don't have to anymore. That's a choice that you're making.
That's not true.
But I understand.
That's not true. You're not the one sitting through the three-hour HR videos that I have to sit through.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Pardon me. Hold on a minute. Let me rephrase that. Oh. You're not the one willingly conducting the important viewing of human resources information placed in front of NFL employees.
I'm blinded by the three gambling sponsors of Game Day Morning.
Okay. they don't exist. I don't know what you're talking about. So lots of news popping in the National Football League?
Yeah.
What
I mean,
do you got over there?
We had a great chat with Keith, so obviously we didn't want to interrupt any of that, but we got a big trade that's brewing here in the National Football League.
What do you got over there, Chris?
Well,
do you want a breaking news drop?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, sure. I don't know if Mike can handle
such a
thing.
It's 40 minutes old, but it's okay.
Okay. No, it's all right. It's still breaking news as far as we're concerned right here. Don't worry about it. You could just hit the toilets drop, too, if you'd like.
Toilets.
No, it's okay. We're waiting. What do you got over there, Chris? What do you got?
Breaking news.
Hey. The Steelers, Rich, are acquiring Allen Robinson from the Los Angeles Rams.
Ah. Okay. All right.
Doesn't blow you over?
Allen Robinson hasn't bowled me over for quite some time. And, you know, Chicago and Los Angeles didn't go very well for him. It's been a hot minute for him. I mean, he did have, I believe, one significant year for the Bears?
So. Yeah, he had a really good year. He's 29 years old now.
Let's see.
So,
hey, man, Allen Robinson and George Pickens are two very physical receivers. I know Deontay Johnson.
Freiermuth.
But Robinson and Pickens, you're gonna have to bring your big boy pants to try. And those are physical receivers you're gonna have to deal with right there. So, Kenny Pickett, he's got another receiver. What did they trade? What did they have to give up for that? Actual draft capital?
Actual draft capital, I assume.
Okay. Just been acquired.
Quick scan.
Sixth round pick. Seventh round pick. The Rams will take whatever they draft choices are coughed up. What else is happening over there, Chris?
DeMar Hamlin spoke.
Ah, fantastic.
He said, we don't have any sound. I'll just try to say some quotes for you guys. Not the end of my story. I plan on making a comeback, says he does plan on playing. Says he suffered Komodo cordis on January 2nd, a rare cause of cardiac arrest that starts with a blow to the chest in the precise spot at just the wrong time in a heartbeat. Says, quote, I died on national TV in front of the whole world.
That's true.
And he plans to save a generation.
I think about that all the time. And I'm hoping everybody who has children playing in youth sports, make sure that there is life-saving equipment at your little league, your high school, wherever.
Everywhere.
There is, because you never know. Thank goodness there was that there for DeMar Hamlin. This is a good one. Scott Fitterer of the Carolina Panthers spoke. Now, this is when you hold the first overall pick in the draft and the whole free world is thinking that you're going to choose one guy over the other. It went from as soon as they traded for the pick, it's got to be for C.J. Stroud. He's the type of guy that fits height, weight. The Frank Reich mold, right? Mm-hmm. And they dapped him up real good. I just said those words. At his pro day, right? When they went around, when Tepperpalooza, Air Tepper was flying all over the country from Columbus to Tuscaloosa to Lexington to Gainesville, all over the place, kicking tires, dapping up. Everybody thought it's got to be C.J. Stroud. Now here we are. 2 weeks before the draft last week, now 9 days before the draft, and it's Bryce Young. Everybody thinking that.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's no chance on this green earth he's going to let anyone know between nine days out who they're going to choose. And it's kind of crazy because it's not like somebody else is going to steal him. He's first up.
Can't get the zero.
You know what I mean? Like, basically, and there's no, like, back in the day negotiations. Like, you're slotted. You get your deal. Can't hold out. Can't sit there. So it's just basically he doesn't want to say because they may not know and they don't want to box themselves in. And again, Scott Fitter, this is a very important soundbite. You can't give anything away as a host of the NFL draft who wants the drama. Let's hear if this general manager did his part in helping build said drama by saying things without saying things. This is very skilled.
Obviously, through this whole, since February, the combine and everything else, there's been some clarity. But we've made a conscious effort to be open mind about this, be continuous throughout the process. We have the last kind of group in today. We have the coaches, you know, Wednesday and Thursday of this week. And at that point, we'll get together and kind of make that decision. But we've got some clarity through this process.
With that said, Scott, we saw yesterday that Bryce canceled his last visit.
Yeah.
Has there been communication to him that he's the pick?
No, there has not. And, you know, that was a decision he made on his own. And I just refer you to, you know, his reps and to Bryce as to why.
Okay, I'm writing all this stuff down. Yeah, I can't speak to him canceling his visits. So what's the name of the house band I mentioned to Dan Campbell? Specific Generalities, right? That's... If you got to speak in specific generalities when it comes to the draft. I believe that's what I mentioned the other day. Now we have the title of the album.
Oh.
Yes. Specific Generalities album.
First album.
Called Clarity Through the Process. Or is that the title? Is that the title track? Clarity Through the Process.
First release.
They have Clarity Through the Process. Chris, whatever process you're doing right now, do you have clarity for it?
Yes.
Okay.
Clarity.
Guys, listen, I've been around this league a lot, 20 years now, coming up this fall. If you have a process and you don't have clarity, you're screwed. I think they're taking Bryce Young now. What the hell's going on? I love it. Wednesday or Thursday, they're gonna cultivate this caper and they're going to choose.
Rich.
It's coming. And by the way, whoever's in that room, omerta, nothing.
Silence.
Zero, which means they're going to have a choice for a week. How are they going to keep this quiet? Not a chance, right?
No.
Not a chance. It's not a chance.
The other thing important to remember, we are smack dab in the thick of lying season.
Ah.
Everything everyone says is a lie.
Hey, well, hold on.
You can't believe anything.
Not what you're saying.
What I'm saying right now is the truth.
Understood.
Is that everything is a lie.
Okay.
Makes
so
sense?
So it's a lie if you believe it, though.
It's not a lie.
Oh.
If you believe
it. Right, so it's not a lie if you believe it. It sounds like Scott Fitterer totally believes he's had clarity through the process.
But even if you believe it, it could be a lie. Nothing anyone says is reality. It's all smoke and mirrors until the commissioner says
yes.
the name.
Crew.
When the name comes
out,
that's what it is. You understand what I'm saying? Do you pick up what I'm putting down?
I am.
You smell what I'm cooking?
I do. Absolutely.
Okay. Got food?
So,
first pick in the NFL draft,
yeah.
The Carolina Panthers select. Cool.
Yep, that's it.
And then you're like, ah! And then we'll know.
There used to be a Sports Center anchor who couldn't pronounce some of the polysyllabic hockey player names. So he would just, He would just like.
Nikolai
Habibu. Yeah, that's what it would be like. And I'm not going to say. But I'm just saying that wouldn't that be funny if that's what. But they phonetically spell it out for the commissioner, so that it won't even be an excuse.
No.
Could you. Is it. You know, could it be possible CJ Stroud isn't the second overall pick in the draft because the Texans don't want to deal with his agent? That would be insane. That would be positively insane.
The fact that he could go to fourth. Think about if you're the Colts. There's all this. Moving and shaking going on, you could literally just sit at four and get the guy you wanted the whole time.
And the reason why you got him, and if C.J. Stroud beats up on the Texans his entire career, just like Peyton Manning did, as you know, the Texans couldn't beat the Colts forever in a day. And could you imagine if the Colts use C.J. Stroud to beat up on the Texans and the Texans don't win those games because of C.J. Stroud, and the reason why they didn't take him is because of who C.J. Stroud's agent is? Now, I'm sure there's a lot of bad blood between the teams and Deshaun Watson and everything going on. And I'm sure there were some very difficult conversations that got heated. But come on. Really? So, well done, Scott Fitter. Clarity through the process.
Keep the guessing game
coming going. Soon to Tower Records.
You know, Rich, speaking of getting ready for the draft, how are you preparing? Because you got a long, I mean, you got, you know, you have a lot of on-camera time, hours.
It's lying season.
It's lying season. It's also prep season.
It's prep season.
I need some more prep tweets out of you.
How long does prep season go?
Well, I think it goes right up until game time, right up until the light
It goes right
on.
Until the Raj opens the envelope.
That's what I'm saying.
Yep. If the envelope is to be open.
You're looking at my prep. I just heard Scott Fitter. When I say, you know what I'm going to say? Here we go. When the Panthers select their choice, I will say, well, they had clarity through the process. Scott Fitterer said they had clarity through the process, and the process is all about Bryce Young. It's all about C.J. Stroud. And I'll be able to say that because I prepped for it right here. This is my prep. Begging Del Tufo to pay attention.
I need more
begging
newspapers
Del Tufo
out
to give
of
me
you.
The drop. Trying to get you engaged while you're tapping something out on your phone. Yeah, exactly. The hell going on?
Trying to get me to stop saying dumb stuff.
Yeah,
I need newspapers. I need tweets.
No,
I need tablets.
I need everything
out of you.
No. And I know what you're attempting to do here, and I don't appreciate it. I don't appreciate it because it puts me in a position I don't care to be in.
Take care of y'all chicken.
And your mentals. I've got my mentals.
Your mentals got to be on point, Rich. You have a long night.
I've got clarity through the mentals. Or mentals through the
mentals.
Process.
Clarity through the mentals.
Thank you, Scott Fitterer.
Clarity through the mentals.
This is amazing.
That was a Hoobas thing.
All right, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to have a press conference today. I don't want to talk, but I got to talk. So here's what I'll do. We have clarity through the process. Go out and say that, Scott. Well done, Scott. I see him. Next time I see him, I'll say thank you for that. 9 days before the draft, and you helped me prep. Get out of here. This is what I do. I already saw the whole draft in front of me at the combine. I just didn't have them ordered in the order that we're going to have in 9 days. And
when you get the
10
book?
Days and 11 days. The book?
The book's the best.
The book's coming.
Oh,
the book's the
I don't
best.
Need the book.
I love the you book. Need the book.
Oh, you're off book, as they say.
I'm off book.
You're off book.
I'm on the clock. I'm off book. I'm on the clock.
He's a lead pipe wielding professional, folks. Come on.
Two lead pipes.
Where do you get the lead pipe?
Yeah. Where do you buy
it? Amazon. Where else would you get it?
Hang on. Let's see.
I got a lead pipe and a kendo stick from Amazon.
You guys aren't being helpful. I'm trying to prep here.
Buy
and you're getting
a
me
lead
off my game.
Pipe.
I'm prepping.
Lead pipe on Amazon.
Thank you.
Of course they have it.
I just, you know, I look up. Jalen Carter's visiting the Lions today and the Falcons tomorrow. You, by the way, how about this one? Let's just hit this one.
They're not going to be there, of course.
And then we'll bring out Tom Pelfrey in a second. Hendon Hooker is about to visit with a fascinating team to me.
I saw this.
All right, so that's now a tease. It's a tease because
I didn't see it. So
No, hold on. This is what Brockman wants to talk about.
Okay. Now I think I know.
So he's prepped.
Okay.
And this is going to help me prep. Because if Hendon Hooker winds up with this team, it's going to be a Christmas tree type moment lit up.
It's a Festivus for the rest of us?
Oh, it will be. It will be.
Just say it.
Speaking of lead pipes.
This is what he's ready to chew into this topic. It's one of those
Festivus for the rest.
Look at you. That's your guy.
Get it, Mike. That's your guy.
Let's take a break. Tom Pelfrey of HBO's Love and Death, or HBO Max. Soon to be Max. He's Tom. He's coming out next on the Rich Eisen Show. Don't go anywhere.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung. And that means spring cleaning, or at least the partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's IBOTTA in the Google Play or App Store and use my code EISEN. Tom Pelfrey, thrilled to have you here on the program. So, you getting a script for this show, what was your first reaction? Did you immediately start learning about the real story behind it? What was this like for you, Tom?
Yeah, I did. Well, I couldn't put it down. You know, they sent the first four. I was filming something else at the time. I figured I'd do one a day.
Sure.
Sat down with the first one and read straight through all four. Was really taken by the kind of dark comedy nature of the tone of the script, you know? And then I went online and saw just how real and faithful the script was to real life. So it was an actual murder that took place in Wiley, Texas.
Yes.
In 1980.
And not just any old straight up, I guess, crime either.
No, it was an affair that ended in an axe murder.
There you go. Ooh.
Yeah.
So this is not a sequel to How I Married an Axe Murderer, is basically what you're saying. It's an actual true story here.
True story.
That actually happened.
Yeah.
And you jumped in with both feet.
Yeah, so I played Don Crowder, who was a sort of a friend of Candy Montgomery. Candy Montgomery is the woman accused of the murder. And they live in the small town Wiley, Texas. And Don is on the church board with Candy.
Yes.
And Don is a personal injury lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
But when Candy's accused of the crime, she wants a lawyer that she feels comfortable with. So she goes to Don, who is her friend, and he tries her case, and it's the first time he'd ever tried a homicide case.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So there's a lot to learn, I guess, from the character and what you needed to do to get involved in this whole thing.
Yeah, and then there's great source material, and I learned a lot about Don, who played football.
Huh.
Don played at SMU mm-hmm. for 2 years as a running back.
So you got a free car?
I don't think
we didn't learn
I don't think they gave. I think he was like 5'9", 175, so I don't think he was getting any free cars.
He didn't get the Eric Dickerson treatment?
No.
Is that what you're saying?
No.
So, because I'm trying to figure this out. If Don was, you know, I guess your age in 1980, this predates the Pony Express SMU.
I think it does.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to interrupt. So he played at SMU.
Played at SMU and then tried to, or he got an invitation to, what was the Washington Redskins to try out with them for the summer.
Okay.
And the team doctor wouldn't allow him because he had an orbital fracture from college.
Ah.
And he was so small, the doctor was like, we're not letting you in the camp.
And thus his legal career was born.
Literally.
And then that's how he wound up in the middle of this whole, I guess you can't even call it a triangle. It's kind of like a square. Right? A love square,
it
rectangle.
Is it. Right. Okay. A love square with two people kind of left out in the cold.
Got it. Love and Death on HBO Max. Again, it starts on April 27th on draft night, and then new episodes releasing weekly through May 25th right here on The Rich Eisen Show. So you are from New Jersey? Is that where you're from?
Howell, New Jersey, yeah.
Where? So what exit is that?
Exit 98. Yep. Central Jersey.
Central Jersey, and that's Mr. Livingston, New Jersey over there.
Come on.
It's my area. I used to DJ at Jenks.
Get out of here.
Swear to God.
Yep. Oh, my God.
Is it possible you've been to Jenks while he's DJed?
It's very possible I've been to Jenks.
I did 89, 90, 91, 92, 93, 94.
No, I wasn't.
Osprey.
They weren't letting me in back. The Osprey. Remember when the Osprey was painted with the mural with Hulk Hogan on the side?
Yes.
This is amazing.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, again, you just heard that's our audio executive, as he likes to be referred to, Mike Del Tufo right there from Livingston, New Jersey, as he could have easily said 89 to 94, but he went year by year.
Yeah.
He sounds like he's from New Jersey.
Yeah.
You do not.
Yeah,
what happened?
You know, it kind of happened naturally. I didn't ever focus on losing my accent. But
did you used to have one, for real?
No, and this is strange because my friend who grew up four doors down from me talks like this, like Tommy. You know, come on, like what
Mikey,
are you doing?
That's like Mikey D, right over there.
Yeah,
I never lost it.
No, years no, after. And you never should because it's a beautiful thing.
Thank you,
you know,
it's a beautiful thing.
I love it.
Yeah. I still say water.
Okay,
water, coffee.
You know, yeah, coffee, chocolate. You know, there's certain things like what do you put your socks in?
Hamper, or hamper
when they're clean.
The drawer.
Draw.
Yeah, I say draw.
Draw. It's a
draw.
Yeah. Okay. Do you do what Mike does as well? Like when he plays us something to hear. And listen to, he says, watch this. That's a Jersey
that's
thing.
That's a really particularly weird thing for Mike in particular to do, given that he is the sound engineer.
He does that. Yep. I'm from Staten Island, which is practically a borough of New York as well as New Jersey. So I grew up with people like Mike, and I sometimes will slip in, my New York accent will come out. New York accent. When I first started when I first started on TV doing sports, I would talk about the NCAA tournament, you know, and then I literally had to write the word tournament down, T-O-U-R-nament on my script.
Yeah.
So I would say tournament, you know, tournament.
Would they give you a hard time by your accent?
Well, I would, you know, it just, yeah. I mean, I think people, you know, you keep them guessing. I honestly, having watched you in Ozark, would never have guessed that's a Jersey guy in a million years. So you're a terrific actor, but you're also saying you lost your accent a while ago. That's what you're saying.
I don't know that I ever had a strong one. And the one that I've had, I haven't lost in terms of water and
there you
chocolate.
Go. I heard it right there.
Yeah.
And so do you have a sports team from New York City?
Oh, yeah. Okay, die hard, bleed blue, New York Giants.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
The whole family.
The whole family.
The whole family. When I was a kid, my dad was a Cowboys fan. Now, my grandfather was a hardcore Giants fan. I remember being very young, and my father bought me a raincoat, uh-huh. Cowboys raincoat.
Mm-hmm.
Brought me over to my grandparents' house. My grandfather had me walk over to him, and he took off the coat, and he put me on his lap, and he said, "Rich, never again." And it never happened again.
Never again. Is that what he said?
Yeah, never again. Not Cowboys on this kid.
Ever.
No.
And that was the end of that.
Yeah.
Well, the Cowboy fan behind you, and TJ, you have to appreciate that sort of bitterness.
It's hard to appreciate anything when the Giants are involved. So I'm trying to give the idea
if you were too young to be in what's the name?
Giants into the Oscars.
Okay. So then, when did you start? Like, when was your era of Giants fandom?
The hardcore passion, know everything is the Eli era, obviously.
Okay, sure.
But right. Phil Sims, Bravaro, those guys. LT, Parcells, that's when I was a kid watching my grandfather, my uncles, my dad would watch the Giants, obviously, as well.
Right. Yeah. So are you locked in to them right now? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So what'd you think of Daniel Jones getting $40 million a year?
I love it. I think it's time that we had good management in place.
Okay.
We have a good general manager I feel confident in.
That's true.
And I feel that if he feels confident in Jones, I was reading stories that were saying that Daboll was telling Wink Martindale what the plays were in the offseason without Daniel Jones knowing. So the defense was anticipating what the offense was going to do because he wanted to frustrate him.
Uh-huh.
And he wanted to see how he kept his composure, and obviously he did. And I think he can do it all. I think the last few years we've kind of been garbage, and maybe not the best systems or coaches to help him out.
Right.
And considering what he did last year with basically all of our wide receivers hurt.
Yes. That playoff game against Minnesota was truly what every Giant fan had been hoping Daniel Jones had in him, that he showed up. And again, that was a typical Giants affair, one would think, of recent years, give up a touchdown to start the game, then a holding penalty to set them back inside the 10-yard line to start their first drive of the game with everyone going crazy in Minnesota. And he and Saquon just dominated.
Oh,
personally incredible. Ended that day for the Vikings, ended the season for the Vikings. And Saquon's not there yet, but I think they'll get him handled.
I hope so.
He's one of the best.
He is one of the best, and he deserves it. He hung in there, good face of the franchise. Him and Daniel Jones both, actually. You see guys like Eli, Derek Jeter. Those guys that handle themselves in New York.
Yes.
And then you see other people implode or do foolish things, and you realize how special it is that those guys can be leaders in that market.
Yeah.
And
we've had Daniel Jones on this show, and he sounds like Eli. He's got the syntax. He's got the same manner of speaking. It's the whole damn thing. And the reason why that guy across the way with the Red Sox fan hat in front of him is not saying anything right now is he's a Patriot fan. And also, he thinks Daniel Jones is going to step on his you-know-what, right? Isn't that what you think, Chris? Go ahead.
I mean, not so many words, but yes. I don't think he's just super average. And to pay a guy $40 million because he played fine in one playoff game is kind of ludicrous.
We're throwing you into the sports talk mosh pit
Chris, is this Pelfrey. Is this just like hard feelings still maybe from 2012 or maybe from 2008?
Great question.
Absolutely not. Has nothing to do with the past. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at the future. I actually care about you as a Giants fan and where your organization is going in the future. I don't want you to blow all your money on this guy who kind of stinks.
Yeah.
How did he play against the Eagles?
I don't know if you heard Chris while you were in our green room. He said it's lying season in the NFL right now. I think you saying you care about him as a Giant fan, I think that's a lie.
Well, he's our guest.
Understood.
And I want him to feel welcome.
Yeah.
We see no possibility of like the Josh Allen progression. I'm not saying that Daniel Jones is going to be Josh Allen, but like year by year, finally having a good coaching system in place. We don't see that as a possibility.
And Daboll is the through line. Yep. Tom Pelfrey knows what he's talking about.
I think Daboll's a really good coach. Need him to practice better hygiene with wearing the sunscreen.
I don't know if he knows what you're referring to. He does not know.
We'll get to it.
Okay.
But we've never seen the year-to-year improvement in a player ever before than we did in Josh Allen. And it seems unlikely that that's going to happen again with a guy who's now entering his sixth year in the league.
But he's not in his sixth year. He's entering his fifth year. And we saw flashes his rookie season.
Flying season.
We did see flashes his rookie season.
He's very fast.
His first start in place of Eli, if I'm not mistaken, was in Tampa, Florida, and he lit it up. He absolutely destroyed the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It's my job.
Yeah.
But yes, he did do that. And then even John Mara said that they blew it with him, and he gave him a chance this year, and they didn't pick up his fifth year option, and he just went ahead and just said, here's my bag, fill it up, and they had to. And so, you know, I understand what you're saying.
Hey, good luck to you.
Thank you.
Again, he doesn't mean that. He doesn't mean that at all. But in reference of what you're saying,
yes,
what you're there was an annual gathering of the NFL, the owners' meeting that just happened.
Right.
All the coaches are there, and there's a coach's photograph that we're putting up on the screen. And you could see second from the left in the top row is the coach of the year, your coach, Brian Daboll, it looks like he's wearing a bandana.
Wow.
But as a matter of fact, and this stuff, Chris and I are totally into, you might not because you have this beautiful flowing mane. We're genuinely concerned as a member of the Ball Brotherhood.
Got a sunscreen it on.
And when he comes on, we have to question his judgment.
Yeah, is verging on purple.
And look at that.
Yeah.
Like a zip up. It's like 80 degrees out. We don't know what he's thinking.
You know, that's the same color that Coach Coughlin turned in Green Bay.
Yeah! Maybe it's homage.
Summertime homage.
We didn't think of that.
Didn't think about that. That's next level.
Yeah.
Yes. We did have Coughlin on this show recently and asked him about that.
If he was thought out,
if his face broke that day.
Oh my God!
Right?
Yeah, Lambeau, man, wasn't a good look.
And by the way, he ended Brett Favre's Packers career. That was Brett Favre's last game as a Packer.
Wow.
See ya. And then, just to bring it all full circle, the Giants went on and prevented the Patriots from having the perfect season.
Of course.
Which is why Tom Pelfrey is accusing you of bitterness and lying to his face today.
I'm not. Like I said, Tom's our guest. I want him health and happiness, especially in your sports fandom. But
he's a liar.
You didn't have to pay him 40. You could have gave him 30, and it would have been the same.
We'll see.
We will see, won't we? Tom Pelfrey here on the Rich Eisen Show. Before I let you go, I want to talk Ozark. Any scenes that you were part of, like legitimately, you needed to take a break after shooting?
You know, there was one scene we filmed that you ended up only hearing the audio of, but we filmed it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a scene where I was in the jail cell.
Mm-hmm.
And Wendy and Marty are outside, if you remember. And I think they hear me screaming on the TV screen, Wendy, let me out, whatever.
Yeah.
And we filmed it, though, and they had me in the jail cell, and I just kind of lost my mind a little bit, and I put my hand through the wall a few times, and was really shaken up and kind of crying, and finished the scene and went and sat down, and they brought me an ice pack, and I was kind of just come down, and it's just part of the thing. You get worked up and then you come down. I'm not any kind of method actor nor claim to be, but I was rattled, and I knew how it looked from the outside when the executive producer, the showrunner, Chris Mundy, who's an angel of a human being, came and sat down across from me and said, "Hey, buddy, I'm going to drive you home tonight." And I was like, "Oh, my God, what do I look like right now?" It's okay. I can drive myself.
Really?
But you realize in that moment where it's like, when people who are around that all day all of a sudden looking at you like, "Hey, you okay?"
So like, you even shook the producers? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, in that one moment it was a little intense.
Were you supposed to hit the wall? Or was that your choice?
Just kinda happened. Yeah.
Did you break anything?
No. The wall.
Right.
You know, my hand was a little swollen, but it was fine. But yeah, that was, you saw the role, and it was you kind of get the opportunity to go to the extreme of kind of behavior, and the writers gave me a chance to do it, and I didn't want to let them down.
Well, it was heartbreaking. I mean, in that scene in particular, heartbreaking because your character battling with mental health issues, you needed meds, And you also knew how you were off them, and you knew how you were on them. Mm-hmm. And you also knew that if you stayed where you were, it would not end well for you. You were begging to get out. And, you know, Wendy being your sister, and then that relationship going where it was.
Oof.
Heartbreaking. It was difficult for me to watch it. Yeah. And watch your character go through it, knowing you needed some help, but also knowing that you were putting some, you know, your sister and brother-in-law in significant jeopardy based on your behavior.
Absolutely. You know? And in that environment, anyone's going to be in danger anyway. But then you introduce somebody who's struggling with mental illness on that level, you know, the chances of them being able to maintain themselves in that environment is next to nothing. So it's kind of written like a perfect tragedy in a way, you know, when we as the audience understand what the birds are doing and understand how tense everything is around them and how high the stakes are. You introduce a character like Ben, and from the beginning, you almost know it has to end badly.
Well, the first scene, Ben is beating the crap out of somebody.
Yeah.
Was that the first scene you actually filmed as the character? Or what?
Yes, it was. And Bateman was directing that day. I remember it well. Yeah, it was the first thing we did. Obviously, a lot of fun. What a great introduction for a character.
I mean, that show, talk about edge of your seat, not knowing where things are going to go. Everything goes dark. Like, you're always wondering where, how dark can it possibly get? And it gets darker. And then the heavyweights you were acting with in this show.
Yeah.
You know, the scenes you're doing with the Julia Garner, I mean, she is spectacular. I was stunned she didn't win the Emmy for her role. Obviously, there's so many other talented
people. She won three of them.
She won. I thought the latest one she didn't.
Maybe you're right.
Because this last one, this last year, she was killing it. I mean, the whole final season was remarkable, and the last couple of seasons were the whole damn thing. I know I'm babbling.
No, it really was. It really was. And Julia is incredible. Julia is very visceral and raw, obviously, and it's a very powerful thing. And she's also very smart how she played that character.
Yes.
And the other thing about Ozark that I think is so difficult that love and death actually accomplishes as well. Yes. But it's that no matter how serious it gets, you find yourself laughing.
Yes.
I think that's such a hard line to walk. It's kind of like a Breaking Bad line to walk, where no matter how intense and serious this is getting, it's funny.
Well, I know death isn't on the line, but Succession's kind of like that too, to talk about another HBO Max program.
Yes.
That Love and Death is part of right now. And I'm finding myself laughing out loud, but I was laughing out loud at Ozark quite a bit too, just at times. But also just as a nervous laugh. I mean, my God.
I know. Well, that's the thing, right? Some of the violence is so extreme.
Right.
You kind of laugh.
Right. And so you think Love and Death is kind of up the alley of all the Ozark fans to go check out, would you think?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'm excited for you.
Thanks, brother.
I'm very excited for you. And thanks for coming on here. Certainly when Daniel Jones starts 8-0 and is lighting up the NFC East, come back and let's talk about it and see how Bailey Zappi's comparing.
Exactly, because Mac Jones is getting shot by your coach, huh?
Tom Pelphrey!
Man.
Tom Pelphrey is in the house!
Kaboom!
This is it. He has nothing to say.
Look who just stepped in the room.
Man. Good luck to you, Tom.
Good luck to you.
He's truly, because I've known him for well over a decade now. He's biting his lip right now. He's trying to be nice to the guest.
You're a gentleman.
That might be a little strong. Your coach is shopping. He is shopping him.
I want my coach gone.
Oh, did you like that?
What?
Yes.
Yeah, that's the other thing.
I told you if we just scratch beneath the surface.
Oh, you want your coach gone? Maybe the greatest coach in the history of the NFL?
What's he doing for me right now?
Wow.
Right now, what's he doing?
Zippo.
Wow. No, not Zippo. Zappy.
Zappy. Zappy. That's why I said
it wrong.
Zappy.
You said it wrong.
Come on, Mike.
I said it on purpose.
Whatever.
No, you didn't. Whatever. He set me up like a spinning curve in his own.
Hopkins doesn't want to come play there. Who's he going to throw to? Who's Bailey Zappy going to throw to? I mean, lost Aguilar.
Well, Hopkins was never going to go there anyway because of Bill O'Brien.
Yeah. Gesicki is there now.
Oh, yeah. Because they made great use of the tight ends last year.
Yeah, it's terrible. We're in a terrible spot. So I got to bring people down with me like Daniel Jones.
Tom Pelphrey is my new favorite guest on the Rich Eisen Show. This is fantastic.
You got the Bruins in the South.
Fantastic. Fine. Congratulations in advance of Love and Death. HBO Max is where you can watch Love and Death starting on Thursday, April 27th. New episodes releasing weekly through May 25th. You can see that right here on Roku. Tom Pelphrey, thank you for coming on here.
Thank you so much for having me.
You got to come back.
I would love to.
You got
to
come back. You know what? It's kind of like the jug handle. You know, you just got to go around and then you just go come right back.
Yeah, there's no left. We go right to go left.
You can't pump your own gas.
You can't pump your own gas. What else?
What do we do?
What else?
Pay to go on the beach.
You go pay to go on the beach.
That's right.
Unless the governor shuts it down for himself.
Oh, my God.
But that's what you do. Yeah. You go to Newark Airport and you go watch Mike Del Tufo between 1989 and 94.
It's also the only state you got to pay to leave. You go to New York, you pay. You go to Philly, you pay. You pay to get out. You don't pay to get in.
That's true.
That's right.
Hey, just look at the
just to bring it full circle on HBO Max. Just any episode of The Sopranos. That's how it opens.
Yeah.
He's pulling a ticket. He's pulling a ticket.
16W.
Tony Soprano's pulling a ticket to go home.
16W.
I love it.
Easy pass back.
Tom Pelphrey at Tom Pelphrey on Twitter and at Tommy Pelphrey on Instagram. Right here on the Rich Eisen Show. We'll wrap this up in a moment.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Look, the moment when Damar Hamlin went down like a ton of bricks in front of the entire national TV audience watching Monday Night Football in a huge game between the Bills and the Bengals with so much on the line. And, of course, even fans who weren't even interested in who wins and who loses, there were fantasy players all over the place. I mean, that you were talking about a huge audience of diehard fans and, of course, also other fans who were just casually interested, sitting there and watching, and then all of a sudden, Damar Hamlin goes down and dies, to use that phrase as well.
Wow, yeah.
And I remember sitting there, and I turned to Susie, I'm like, wait a minute. He got up, and he just dropped. I'm like, is it? I don't know. Then they go to break, and they come back, and they're like, Buck and Aikman are talking about what just happened, and players are frightened and scared, and you saw Joe Burrow and looking like you never see him on a football field, and Josh Allen with his hands over his mouth. I turn to Susie. I'm like, did he die? Could he have just died?
Guys crying.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, man.
And we know the rest of that week was like sitting in an emergency room waiting for, you know, the doctor to come out of the emergency room and tell you your loved one was okay.
Yeah, it was like a family member, right?
It was unreal. It was unreal. And then, of course, as we all know, he wakes up. He starts talking to his loved ones, asked, did we win? And we're like, okay. That's what we needed to hear.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we all know he wound up leaving the hospital, and we know what happened after that. Well, today's the day we've all been waiting for, even since that day, where all of his specialists, all of them, unanimously cleared him for full football activity, and Damar Hamlin spoke today.
Over these last few months, I've been on a journey and I've seen, you know, some of the top professionals across the country, and their answers to me were pretty much all the same. They were the same. And this event was life-changing, but it's not the end of my story. So I'm here to announce that I plan on making a comeback to the NFL.
Beautiful.
Wow.
It's beautiful.
Love it, man.
Yeah. And he spoke even more eloquently about what happened and what's next.
Not to sound cliche, man, but the wild moment is every day, just being able to wake up and just take deep breaths and live a peaceful life, to have a family, to have people around me that love me and that care about me, and for those people to still have me in their lives. You know, they almost lost me. Like, I died on national TV in front of the whole world, you know what I mean? So I see it from all perspectives. And you know, for them to still have me around and for me to still have them, you know, it's like it goes both ways. And, you know, I lost a bunch of people in my life. I know a bunch of people who lost people in their lives, and I know that feeling, you know. So that right there is just the biggest blessing of it all, is for me to still have my people and my people still to have me.
Beautiful. Well done, DeMar Hamlin. Confirmed he had commotio cordis, which a lot of people thought in first blush he was suffering from, which is just getting hit hard at the wrong time, right as his heart was beating at the wrong place. Right in the middle of a heartbeat. You get hit like that, and that's, again, what he's going to be telling youth sports leagues and high schools and small venues around this country. Have life-saving equipment for you as soon as you possibly can, right there in your facility.